You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Welcome back.
Bonjour. I'm back from France.
You had a good trip.
I had a great trip. I went to the French Open, which if anyone out there remembers tennis, you should start watching tennis again. It was absolutely the most exciting and fun event I've ever attended. It was absolutely incredible.
You said by far.
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's unfortunately there are no great American men tennis players right now, which is really a bummer because the sport has never been healthier. And they're going to a stadium like the Roland Garros Stadium and seeing these guys playing. These athletes are so incredible. You know, you think about tennis as maybe not being that athletic. They are absolutely amazing. And the crowd, the whole thing, the energy was absolutely indescribable. It was so much fun.
You know, you had said this, and I agree with you, and I kind of forgot about it, but there are so many moments in a tennis match that are really like it's pins and needles. It's very important parts, and there are shots that are incredible, and there are, you know, runs that a match can go a while because it's back and forth so much. And you're right. When McEnroe and Connors would play, or McEnroe and Len, any of these guys, people were really into it here.
Well, it went through a phase for 10 to 15 years where it was unwatchable. I didn't watch it either. It was terrible. And they slowed the surfaces down. They slowed the balls down a little bit. And now these guys can really play, and it's just really fun. So if you get a chance, check it out. You know, the Wimbledon U.S. Open's coming up. Get back out. Have a look. See what you think. The scoring system is just fantastic, and it was so much fun with my son, Aiden, celebrating his birthday and graduation. We just had a ball. So
good for you. The memories you will never forget. Trust me,
sure.
I know that.
And the food. Oh, anyway. All right.
Hey, you look healthy, though. You still look healthy.
I'm very healthy.
Hey, let me run down our show real quick. This is a really fun show today, and I'm excited about it. At 8:15, Allie Lofi is a student at she's a soccer player at MSU. We're going to talk to her, and she's got some really cool things going on.
Yeah, this show should be really interesting. We have we're going to let the athletes speak today, and we're going to talk to Allie Lofi, who's one of our ACL patients who's been kind enough to share her story, and we'll go through all of that. We also have Mark Scarpinato, who is a star football player here in the area and then went on to Michigan State, won the Rose Bowl there. And then we'll have Mark Zimmerman, who's one of our anesthesiologists at Mosh, come on and talk as well. So it's really an excellent opportunity for athletes, coaches, families out there to hear, you know, what it's like to be injured, what it's like to recover, what it's like to be a champion, and what you can do with adversity. So it should be a fun show.
And, you know, and not to give anything away, but when we talked to Allie from MSOE, some of the things that she's trying to do outside of the soccer field with her mind,
yes,
is really what I want to talk to her about, because I find that really interesting. A couple of things before we get to our guests. Chris Davis with the Brewers, he's not back. And I made a comment to you. I'm a little surprised by that. And you said, hey, there might be more to this than you know. He had May 30th, he tore his meniscus. June 2nd, he had the meniscus removed. And there's a lot of people, that's a common injury. In fact, I had it as well. And I'm just wondering, does it surprise you that he's still out?
No, it does not. What people need to understand about the meniscus, I just wanted to touch base on that a little bit, is what is it, first of all? And so, you know, between your femur bone or thigh bone and the tibia bone or shin bone is your knee, right? And there's articular cartilage, which is the part on the end of the bones. It's the slippery stuff on the end of the bones. In between that is what's called the meniscus cartilage. You have two of them in your knee. You have one on the inside half and one on the outside half, the medial and lateral meniscus. And they act like a bushing. So, you know, a bushing adapts a rounded surface to a flatter surface. And that's what the meniscus does. And it plays a very important role in the knee to support the cartilages in the knee. and to provide some stability. So there are different types of tears, there are different severities of tears, and of course that means there's different length of recovery. So the kind of tear that he had sounds like the type that needed trimming. So some of them can be repaired and they can be sutured back together. We do it all the time, and you'd prefer to do that because you'd like to keep the meniscus if you can, but it has such poor blood supply that sometimes it cannot heal. And so I always tell patients, you know, the meniscus sort of makes that decision for us. If the tear is not, it can't heal, has no potential to heal, then we have to trim it. And I think that's what he had done. And I would expect that over the next few weeks, he'll probably start to turn. But until his knee, until the swelling comes down, until he's actually healthy, especially with the season the Brewers are having, it would be sort of silly to push him back early. Right. And then perhaps risk the potential for a more serious problem down the line.
You know, in the article that I read, June 2nd, it says he had they removed the torn meniscus.
Yes.
So does that mean that there's still part of the meniscus might still be in there?
Yes. This is called a partial meniscectomy. Okay. So back in the 70s, they used to take the whole thing out because they did it open. And that's progressed to what's called a partial meniscectomy, where we trim only the damaged part, leaving as much of the normal tissue there as possible. So that's what he had done.
Do you know what's interesting is when we were walking in, I told you that that I had had mine, and it was starting to feel better before surgery. So I went and played softball and rounded first base, and it kind of popped. And the doctor that I had do it, when I got to my car, I called and said, look, you had a lot more stuff going on. And you right away said arthritis. And that was one of the things. He said, look, there was some stuff in there. And before I even told you what it was, you knew that.
Well, I see it every day of my life. So it's a very common issue. That there are different types of tear. You know, Chris Davis doesn't have arthritis likely in his knee. But a lot of the people, as we all get a little older, the cartilage, that articular cartilage thins. And so it puts more load on that meniscus. So oftentimes you get a meniscus tear secondary to the arthritis. And so in our age group, you tend to get some of the arthritis, some of the meniscus.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have brought that up had I known it was because of my age. But I'm just kidding. Hey, Willie Peralta. Hey,
it's a one-way street, sir.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah. I know that. Yeah, time stops for nobody. You know that. He has an oblique strain. And can you explain that? Because it doesn't sound, when you hear that, you go, come on. Get back out there and pitch.
Well, first of all, it sounds like it's oblique, which means it should just bounce right off of you.
Right.
Right?
That is it.
Yeah, but that's not what happens. So the obliques are really interesting. Really what they're talking about are two muscle groups that connect the rib cage to the pelvis. And so they're part of your abdominal core, and they run at right angles to one another. And so they are responsible for twisting movements. The problem with oblique strains is that when you get them, it affects everything that you do. So if you talk to people who've had this injury, they have difficulty carrying things, they have difficulty twisting, getting in and out of the car, coughing, sneezing, all these things hurt like crazy. So if you've ever broken a rib, it's a little bit like that, maybe not quite as severe. But oblique strains take a long time to recover, and the trainers are very sensitive to this issue right now. So if a pitcher says, I feel something in my side, they shut them down.
Quick.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, if it's okay with you, I'm going to get to an earlier break than normal.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to get to Allie, and I want to talk to her about some of the things that she's doing. And this is, if you're listening, I'd stick around and listen to her. She's a college soccer player at MSOE, Brookfield East grad, and she's doing some great things, not only on the field and how she's gotten back, but there's some other things that she's doing that we want to talk to her about.
Yeah, she's had two double-bundled anatomic ACL reconstructions. You won't want to miss this segment. It's going to be awesome.
You're going to explain double-bundled?
I will. I'll explain it all, but she's a terrific, bright young woman, and it's going to be very interesting to hear her.
I'm looking forward to it. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That's why you had them play this song.
Well, they still haven't found what they're looking for. So.
Has nothing to do with we're Irish guys, right? That's YouTube brought to you by Dr. Brian McCarty. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. interested to talk to Allie. She's a student at soccer player at MSOE, and she's gone through some stuff to get back on the field, Brian.
She's gone through more than her share, but, you know, she's turning all of that adversity into great things, as she would do. And so we're really excited that she's been willing to share her story with us today.
Allie, how are you today?
How are you guys?
I mean, we're doing great. I don't know you at all, but I'm really impressed with your story, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. Thanks for a couple of minutes of your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey, so the first time that you got injured, can you explain, were you playing soccer? How did that happen?
Yeah, so I was a senior in high school, and I was playing at my home field at Brookfield East, and a girl kind of shoved me off of the ball a little bit, and I was a little off balance, tried to take a step to the left and cut, so technically it was non-contact, and then I kind of felt a pop and some intense pain for like 30 seconds, and then it was just over with, and got pulled off the field. They initially did all of the ACL tests, which they like bend your knee and that kind of stuff, and initially I passed it, so they were like, oh, just get a bag of ice. You probably just hyperextended your knee. And then that night, my knee swelled up like a balloon, and the next morning I went back into the trainers, and they redid all the tests and kind of saw that I most likely didn't have an ACL. So then my trainer recommended me go see Dr. McCarty, and that was probably a very good decision because he was a very good doctor, and I'm glad I worked with him. So, but yeah, I tore my first one senior year of high school, playing soccer, non-contact, just cutting.
That's the most common mechanism.
Yep.
Most of these are non-contact injuries. So a lot of times athletes are doing things that they've done many times before. And, you've recovered from getting pushed, I'm sure, a million times, Allie, right? And for whatever reason, this time, not so much. And so the history of your injury is very consistent with the most common one, which is you feel a pop, you have a lot of pain. And oftentimes they are misdiagnosed. So people out there, if you get a big swollen knee the next day, make sure you go into a specialist and get it checked to make sure that you know what's going on.
That's really good advice, because I think what people try to do is ice it and have the swelling go down and then try to go back to their normal.
Well, Allie's trainer, Joe Szczesinski at Brookfield East, is an extremely experienced and excellent trainer. And so, when he says there's something amiss, there usually is. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Allie, when you started on your path to recovery, what was the biggest problem that you faced?
I think it was just realizing that I wasn't going to be able to play soccer, which is like the game that I love to play, for the next 9 months. And my first time going through it, a set guideline as to how long this was going to take was kind of unsure, because it's every patient is different and everything. So I think the hardest thing for me was having to actually sit on the sideline and watch my team play, and just kind of going through the mental roller coaster of the ups and downs, because I'd go see Dr. McCarty once a month, and every single time I'd go see him, it was like, I'm one month closer. So I just had to keep that in the back of my mind that there is an end to this. But I think the hardest part was just having to sit on the sideline and watch, because I love the game so much. And I guess going through this injury, it kind of fueled my love of the game and my being appreciative of being able to physically like step out on the field and enjoy every single minute of the game that you're playing, because it can be taken away from you in just 1 second. And I had that happen to me again this year, playing soccer at MSOE with my other knee. And so now it's especially just like, enjoy every minute, because it can just be taken away from you in 1 second.
We're talking to Allie Lepfe. She is a student at MSOE and a soccer player at MSOE. So she talked about her first time, and then it happened again.
Yeah, well, Allie had really what we would consider the most state-of-the-art ACL reconstruction. She was our first double-bundle anatomic ACL reconstruction patient. And she was really perfect for that, because she understands mechanical things, she and her parents are very intelligent people. They understood why you would want your ACL to be as close to normal as possible. And, you know, one of the things that we do at Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospitals, we push that envelope, right? So we've been doing single bundle anatomic reconstruction, which is not the same, you know, as conventional old school reconstruction. And it basically puts the ACL exactly where your ACL really is or was in the first place. And so in Allie's case, she had a two bundle reconstruction because that matched her anatomy perfectly. And so we can tension the ligament so that it's exactly the way her original ligament was. And this leads to an interesting dilemma, doesn't it, Allie? Because she felt fantastic about 2 months in and wanted to play. And so she would come in and negotiate.
I would.
Right? And we had a lot of laughs about this, but there wasn't always laughs. Sometimes there were tears involved. Mm-hmm. But that's normal. I mean, and that's a good thing. But it's hard because the knee feels great. She felt great. She wanted to play. And I think, you know, Allie, I think you really did a great job channeling that energy into sort of being a coach on the sideline, learning more about the game. And so I think that's helped you, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I know, like, sorry to admit this, Dr. McCarty, but a couple of weeks even after surgery, I was, like, I think you know this, but I was already could feel like I was psychologically ready to plant on my leg, and it just felt so stable and everything, which, I, like you said, was one of the harder parts because I felt ready to go, but my body was not ready. The screws have to set in your bones, and everything kind of has to heal. Your scars aren't even like halfway healed at that point. And so that was the hardest part was, and why I negotiated with, because I felt so ready to play and everything, but I know that it was critical for me to follow your directions once you told me the dangers of not following the directions. But then being able to kind of see soccer from a coaching standpoint and everything, it just gave me a better vision of the game. And so when I returned, I kind of had, it was like a wider, not so tunnel vision. It was just like a wider, like, I'm here to play for my team and not necessarily for all the awards and everything, which some people get caught up in. And so, I mean, just going through this experience.
Well, Allie, just to interrupt you really quickly, one of the things that she did that I always encourage my best athletes to do, and I know we talked about this the first time we met, is that most of the elite athletes that I treat can go back better than they were when they got hurt. And the reason you can do that is you can work on other things that you normally wouldn't have time or energy to work on. And she really took that to heart, worked on her core stabilization and her technique.
Hey, Dr. Bryan, can I ask you, she said, look, I had this the double bundle ACL procedure, and in a month I felt like I was ready to go. Is that common with the patients that you have with that?
Yeah, it really is. The anatomic reconstructions, whether single or two bundle reconstructions, which I do, one of the coolest things is how great people feel and how quickly they feel that way. Because the ligament goes back where it came from. We don't have to take a bunch of bone out of the middle of the knee like they used to do. And it just makes the knee feel great pretty much right off the bat. I mean, within a couple of weeks, people feel good. By a month to 2 months, normally they're really feeling pretty normal. And that's very rewarding for me, but it also poses a problem of making sure to communicate why it takes time for the body to heal that ligament completely. That's the hard part.
So here's the cool part. Yeah. You know, that, you know, good for Allie. She's doing all the work and she understands what it's going to take to get back in the field. And she's now designing a brace. And so not only when you said she was perfect for this to be the first double bundle ACL patient for you, she's now trying to design a brace that is going to help other people.
Yeah.
And I need to talk to her about that
because you do.
I think this is awesome.
That's really cool.
Allie, can you talk a little bit about this and where the idea to do this came from? Obviously through your own journey, but talk a little bit about the prototype and where you guys are at with that.
Yeah. So this is, every student at MSOE is required to do a senior design project, and I'm a biomedical engineer, so we start our sophomore year already, which was 1 year I had to sit through my freshman year of soccer at MSOE. And so that year, actually, we had 7 people tear their ACLs at MSOE. And so we were kind of talking with the trainer, because I was always in and out, kind of making sure that I continued my rehab. And he was saying, oh, I wish there was some way that we could, you know, monitor like the rehabilitation process or kind of go through that. And so there's four of us in my design team, and we decided to create a smart brace, we call it. And so it's a sleeve essentially that can go under an ACL brace, that like the traditional hard one that they prescribe you, that has surface electromyography sensors built into it. And then that the EMG reads the electrical activity of your muscle. And then that is sent to wirelessly sent to a data acquisition unit, we hope that it will be a trainer's phone or a PT's phone, so that they can monitor muscle activity and everything. And from that, you can get the force generated and through a bunch of calculations, a lot of parameters that kind of help the PT or the trainer monitor the knee, and also kind of help decide, or we hope it will help to decide when the player will come back, because one of the biggest struggles that you have after you have surgery and everything is muscle goes so fast. It goes in just a couple of days. And so you have to be strong enough in your muscles, and the joint has to be stable for you to return to play. And so we're kind of hoping to create a knee sleeve that can be worn on the field or worn during rehab that will help along the rehabilitation process.
Yeah, so Allie, this is such a cool project, and so Mike looks a little confused. So just so that you know, people out there, so your muscles contract, they actually contract because of electrical signals that are fired through the nerves, mm-hmm. and that can be detected on the surface with these electrodes that Allie's implanted in the sleeve. So her hope is that she will be able to then detect how much muscle activity there is and compare it to normal. And therefore, you can monitor how close a player is or an athlete is to full recovery. And I think this is just an absolutely brilliant application of using your mind to improve the situation for other people who follow. And so really, really a cool project.
Allie, that's phenomenal. You should Dr. McCarty is awfully excited. He's very proud of this work that you're doing. And good luck with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to have to get you back on in the fall when you've got the thing working, and we'll talk more about it.
Yes, sounds good.
Yeah, no doubt. Allie, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Brookfield East got to be, the people over at Brookfield East, very proud of you at this point, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You are welcome anytime you want to come on. Good luck with, now is she rehabbing now, or is she?
No, she's back playing
she's
now.
Back she's back.
She's
yeah.
got two brand new ACLs, and mm-hmm. she's rocking the world.
Good, yes. good for you. Hey, have a great day. Have a good good summer, and we look forward to having you back on the show.
Sounds good. Thank
All
you.
All right, Allie. Have a good weekend.
Thanks,
you
Allie.
Too. Bye-bye.
Right.
Great patient, huh?
She's a phenomenal young woman, truly. Really brilliant. And, you know, we're always talking about the mental side of things
yes.
and how important that is, and this is part of the reason why. You know, we make our impacts usually with our brains more than our body in the end.
Right.
And so she's done both, which is pretty cool.
She challenged you in some of the meetings?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I expect that. I mean, that's all part of the process. My job is to explain and make it clear why it is that they need to follow these instructions. And if I can't do that, I'm not doing my job.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. Well, good for her. I want to meet her in person one day. Because that's really impressive what she's doing.
She's incredible.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to be joined by a Big Ten Rose Bowl champion. And he's a local guy, and he's doing really good stuff. And it looks like he's going to go back to play football. Huh?
Yeah, this is another incredible young person. This young man was a star player here in Marquette High and went on to win the Rose Bowl. And you will not want to miss his story. He's coming up next.
On the other side of the break, this is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm back picking the music. Nevertheless, what it's like.
If you had picked music like this, we never would have had to fire you in the first place.
I'm back. This is not Barry Manilow. This is Everlast. Hey, welcome back. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. So I've known about this young man because he was a beast at Marquette High, I got to tell you.
He's an amazing young guy. So it's really our pleasure to have Mark Scarpinato join us today on this segment and the next.
You bet. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Once a hilltopper, always a hilltopper, right?
Yep. I mean, it's tattooed on me, so I'm always a hilltopper.
Well, you know what? I'm a Mesmer guy talking to two Marquette High guys. I don't know how I'm going to hold up here, but I'll give it my best shot. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your career at Marquette. You had a great career there. You guys won a state championship, I think, your sophomore year. And
undefeated state champion.
Anyway, so then went to look, I cover high school football here, Mark, so I knew a lot about your career at Marquette, and was everybody that I talked to from your sophomore year said the same thing. Man, that kid's a beast. That kid's an awfully good football player. You decided to play over at go to Michigan State and played won a Rose Bowl, won a Big Ten championship, and had some injuries along the way, correct?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, playing defensive line, you're going to get injuries. You know, every the pretty boys out in the wide receivers and DBs, they make all the plays. But we get injured on the inside battling it out. So definitely a known doc for a while.
You've known him since his high school days, correct?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yep. He and his father, who's also a physician, we cover the team. And so we worked together a lot and got to know each other very well. And I was there when Mark, unfortunately, was injured a number of times. But, you know, he was doubled and triple teamed a lot of the time after that first year where,
yes.
You know, they just kind of keyed up on him. So, yeah, Mark, tell us a little bit about some of these injuries and the impact that they had on you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we can start off with, and it was my junior year that we won state.
It was junior year.
So after the state championship, you know, we'd kind of been messing around with the knee through the state semifinals and the state championship game. And it was just kind of like, all right, we're just going to go out there and play with it and then deal with it after. And once we won state, you know, it was like, all right, we got to get an MRI. And so, you know, my knee was, you know, clicking, knocking, all this good stuff. And, you know, came back with a lateral meniscus tear, which, you know, there are much worse things in your knee to have done, but still it was something that had to get fixed. So obviously you remember fixing it. And I think that went really well. You know, I was able to bounce back pretty fast.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Mark, we were just talking a little bit earlier about the injury that Chris Davis sustained for the Brewers. And so it's not that dissimilar to what you had. And we ended up in Mark's case, we trimmed the meniscus for him and he bounced back really quickly. Once that clicking, popping and swelling went away, he felt well very soon, a couple of weeks probably, 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think with that injury, I've seen people have this surgery on Sunday and play on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's rare, but it's happened before.
Yep.
Boy, so that was at Marquette. You move on to Michigan State, and there were some injuries there as well?
Yeah, so actually it was my senior year at Marquette. Kind of, you know, just those double and triple teams that Doc's talking about kind of took their toll on my shoulders. And so kind of throughout senior year, we'd been kind of like figuring out what was wrong with my shoulders. Then, you know, came back, got an MRI, an arthrogram, which not my favorite thing in the world, but I got used to them.
Arthrogram for the people out there means that there's some fluid injected into the shoulder so the test is more accurate.
That's yeah. Painful.
It's sore. Yeah. But it's necessary for this problem. Otherwise you miss the diagnosis frequently. So.
Yeah. I just always ask for Valium and that helped me.
That a boy, Mark.
Yeah. But, no. So, you know, we got back and, you know, my right shoulder was torn and we did that surgery with torn labrum. And so that's a 6 month recovery. And kind of, you know, coming back to it after, my left felt bad, too. And so come in, you know, get another MRI of my left, and we have a torn labrum in that one too. So I ended up with two torn labrums being repaired before I ever got to Michigan State.
Yeah, so we just touched base on that a little bit. Now, the labrum we talked about a few weeks ago is a structure that goes around the socket part of the shoulder called the glenoid, and it's a lot like the edges of a golf tee. So when the labrum tears, the ball will tend to fall off in that direction. In Mark's case, he was losing stability inferiorly. The shoulder was dropping out posteriorly and inferiorly. And so, basically he had to go through back-to-back recoveries from this. And you can't do them both at the same time or you have no arm to use. So you have to do one after the other. So that led to redshirting that freshman year. But it also allowed Mark to get himself, fit in other ways. And he's always been a very, very smart young man. So he spent a lot of time learning more about the game, preparing himself for when he could get back out there.
Hey, Mark, when you felt like you were ready to go, do you remember in your mind where you were ready to go? Were your shoulders ready to go at that point as well?
Honestly, I'll tell you a story, and I wasn't ready to go. It had nothing to do with the repairs. Doc repaired them great. It just had to do with the jump from high school football to college football, to Big Ten football. It took me a while. I came back and, during that spring, I came back. It was a learning process. I had to relearn football just because, everyone had that fall. You fall camp coming in as a freshman, and you get beat up. But then you finally figure it out. And you're like, okay, this is how we play college football. I never had that. So I just got beat up. And it was a more gradual getting towards being able to play Big Ten football, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It really does. And so tell us what's going on now. You decided to go to med school for a bit, and now you're thinking you're going to go back and you're going to go to Pittsburgh and play football? You got one year left?
So Doc and I, after we won the Rose Bowl, had another shoulder surgery. Doc and I kind of talked about being able to function and kind of how much, playing those 3 years had taken a toll on my body. And so we kind of talked about it. I had applied, took my MCAT during the summer and applied. I got into Medical College of Wisconsin. And so we kind of talked, and I had a lot of people, kind of advising me on it. And it was kind of like one of those things where, I needed to go to med school because my shoulders and everything, I needed a break. And I didn't think of it that way. I thought of it as, I need to go to med school and start that part of my life. But then, I kind of started to miss it, and my body started to heal, and I started to feel a lot better. And, kind of in February, I started to talk with my high school coach, Coach Maz, and seeing, I still have 1 year eligibility. Can I play somewhere? And the biggest thing was Medical College Wisconsin was behind the decision 100%. I'm getting a master's of health administration. Always have wanted to run hospitals as opposed to Doc. Doc just wants to operate. I want to run hospitals.
There you go.
He just basically wants to run me around.
He wants to be your boss.
I knew this day was coming. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah. So now I'm going to get a master's of health administration. Pitt has a great one. It's like top 10. It might be 13th in the country, and also able to play for Coach Dews. Obviously, he was my defense coordinator at State, and Medical College of Wisconsin is allowing me to take this 2 years off as a leave of absence, and I'll come back in 2 years as a second year med student.
Well, that's awesome. Have you been? You've been on the campus at Pitt?
I'm actually out here right now.
You are. I've had a chance to walk that campus a couple of times, and I love Pittsburgh. I love the city, and that's a great campus.
I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, but okay. One of the issues that Mark ran into with this whole rehab issue is one of the problems. I have a lot of my college kids and some of the pro people come back to town. They have their surgeries and they go back out. We send them out with very specific instructions, and he'll speak to this, I'm sure. They don't always follow that, right? Because they wanted you on the field, didn't they?
Yeah. No, I was on scholarship, and, it's a push, you know, one of 85. You have to play. You have to earn your spot. That's, you know, every college coach will say that. If you're on a scholarship, you're an investment, you have to earn your spot. So me sitting in the weight room and doing rehab, I mean, while it was best for me, it wasn't best for the coach's choice to give me a scholarship. So you get pushed a lot. And, you know, being a young 18-year-old, I wasn't in the spot. And that's, I guess, kind of an advice that I give younger kids is, you know, if you're injured, you have to have your own best interests, not theirs, because you're the one who's walking around with this body for the next 80 years. So, you know, it's all about what's best for you. The coaches are going to want to put you out there as fast as possible so that they can, you know, see what you have and see if you can contribute, which is perfectly fine from the coaches. Then that's how this whole college sports is played. But you have to protect yourself, and that's something that I don't think I did the best job of when I was, you know, coming in. And if I protected myself more, I maybe would have been able to come in stronger and not experience all of those downfalls that I came in and experienced as soon as I started practicing.
Mark, that's great advice. I really appreciate your time. We need to get to a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's going to join us on the other side also.
Oh, he is. Excellent. Along with Dr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Excellent. Mark, if you can hold, let's get to a quick break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. Back in, that song is brought to you by Marquette Highboy. Mark Scarpinato.
Yep, Scarp brings us in with some music.
That's awesome. Hey, he's joining us online along with Dr. Mark Zimmerman from Mosh. And during the break, man, you're raving about some of the work that Dr. Zimmerman does with you guys.
Oh, he's incredible. Our anesthesia team at Mosh is the best that I know. They just do some incredibly innovative things to help our patients have less pain and recover faster and have safer surgery. So we're really indebted to them. And I thought I'd bring him on today. And Mark Scarp, I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but you know, one of the surgeries that we did for you, you had an episode when they were inducing anesthesia that was pretty scary, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think this was my second shoulder surgery. It was June, so I just graduated Marquette High, and we're getting ready to go. And you know, something was off. And you know, as through the anesthesia process, when we were on the table, I just remember my heart rate. You know, my heart rate's dropping, and getting pumped full of epinephrine. And yeah, it was a scary experience.
Yeah, so this experience led you, you know, obviously to have some concerns about moving forward with doing anything. But, you know, the problem was, as we discussed in the office after, is that he couldn't play football with the shoulders that he had. So basically what I did is I said, you know, don't worry, we'll get you down to see Dr. Zimmerman. We'll get down to Mosh, and he'll look after you, right?
Yeah, and I think we did the surgery in July of that year, and it was when I went to Mosh, you know, everything was set. You know, Dr. Zimmerman really took care of me, got me down, and I know that my surgery after the Rose Bowl, Dr. Zimmerman did it too. I won't have anyone else put me down but Doc.
Yeah, so Dr. Zimmerman, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're flying out this morning, but tell us a little bit about the things that you're doing that are a little bit different, maybe moving forward trying to help our patients.
Well, thank you very much. One of the things that's been really nice about being at Mosh, it's a unique environment in that we can really concentrate on orthopedic surgery. We, you know, one of the big things is pain, and in orthopedics and in everything, narcotic use is been the mainstay of treating pain. And traditionally in anesthesia, we lay down a large layer of narcotics and then give other medications to keep people asleep. But what we're trying to do is make the narcotics the pain relief that is typically given, we're trying to make that the rescue drug. And so we're shooting at really, really decreasing the levels. Narcotic use in the U.S. has been is epidemic. And we've been very, very successful. You can do it in a number of ways. But I kind of use the hour or two or however long I have with the patient to treat some of the things that the narcotics can cause. And it's been very effective. These medications have been very effective. Patients feel a lot better. Some of the side effects from the narcotics we're able to cut back. We can't, you know, in many cases can't cut the narcotics out completely. But in all cases, we can cut them way down. And we've got a perineural blockades and different types of medications we can use that we can follow closely at Monash. It's a unique setup where I can see the patients. The inpatients are so close to the recovery room, which is so close to the same-day surgery and operating rooms right there. So I can dart back and forth and see how these things are working. And we've been able to perfect some really nice techniques. We've got a group of anesthesiologists who have a lot of experience elsewhere in general surgeries and cardiac surgeries, and have come, and they're all motivated to try to make orthopedic anesthesia better. It's a real unique environment.
Yeah, I can tell you as the surgeon that our group there just does a phenomenal job. They're so committed to making the patients feel better, and it really makes a difference. I mean, the amount of pain that people have is much reduced, and the amount of attention they get is much increased. And I think, and it's not to criticize the treatments done elsewhere, because that's not fair at all. But I can tell you that the concentration on orthopedics alone and the commitment of the group there to making sure that patients like Mark Scarpinato are looked after and don't have any issues, remove the fear from the surgery, has been just tremendous.
And we have an advantage. I mean, we can concentrate solely on orthopedics. And I can say when I was in a general hospital doing cardiac anesthesia and that type of thing, it was just very difficult to focus, to have a laser focus on the type of things we're able to focus on at Mosh. And it's made a big difference. It's been exciting to try to push that forward.
So, Scarp, how would you say the pain was after your surgery by comparison to elsewhere? Was it improved, do you think?
Yeah, I do think so. I think if we remember back to the first one, the right side for my shoulder, I was calling Steve, your PA, every 4 hours. I was in so much pain. It was like that, you know, when the oxycodone stops working, and it's like, what do we go to next? And I got out of Mosh, you know, the pain. I had a nerve block, and the pain was way reduced. I was barely taking any narcotics. So
yeah,
well, definitely a difference.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. You know, unfortunately, we only have a minute or so left, but that's the concept is exactly that. Minimize the need for those pain pills so that you're comfortable, right? You mean, everyone's going to have some pain.
Correct.
You know, we understand that. I think we all do. But you guys, both of you, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us this morning.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, Scarp,
and good luck,
Scarp,
at,
good
Pitt
luck
there,
at
Pitt.
Pitt.
Yep.
We'll be rooting
Thank
for the
you.
Panthers. And Dr. Zimmerman, safe travels. Thank you so much for a couple minutes of your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, guys, thank you. Dr. Brian McCarty, man, welcome back, first and foremost.
Thank you.
It's great to have you back in studio. Great show today.
Yeah, thank you so much. Next week, I think we've got Dr. Kasempa coming on.
We do.
So we're back at it.
You know, in fact, and Dr. Sean Tracy is going to join us at 11 o'clock.
Yes, he is.
On the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, and I look forward to talking to him. Great job today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.